On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Welcome to Unforced Airs number 69, the first ever post-tornado edition of Unforced Airs. How's it going, everybody? Matt Robinson along with you on Unforced Errors number 69. Nice. On the Tall Can Audio podcast network. Interestingly enough, and I've heard a couple comments on this before, I haven't done anything on Unforced Errors in several months now. The last one was on April 16th. Funny enough, also talking about shitty weather. As we'd had a hell of an ice storm on April 16th, and it had kind of stopped us from doing some of the things we were planning on doing. That's sort of been the case here. What is wrong with some of you people? Got a text. Got several tweets. Got a couple of emails and Facebook messages and whatnot, helpfully pointing out that we didn't release a show on Monday morning, like we always do. And it's like some of you are somehow you think we must be unaware that we didn't do that. Like we aren't conscious of the fact that, oh, really? I didn't sit in front of a microphone and put something together for... We just had a fucking tornado blow through town. This isn't minor news. It's been on CNN. It's been on Canadian national news for a long time. A good portion of Ottawa has had no power. We're okay, thanks for asking. Not a whole lot of concern about that. Just, where's my morning podcast? Fuck! I'm fine, thanks. No, I wasn't blown off my balcony and put head first through a Taco Bell window by gale force winds. I appreciate your concern. That would be the way to die in a shitty fucking Taco Bell. So we're okay. Thanks. Storm rolled through here on Friday night, knocked out power for several days. I'm just getting back into the studio now. And we'll get into a couple of things here. I'll kind of let you know what happened. But I was pretty lucky. I went downtown. I have family here in the city who had power. And so I loaded up some stuff, loaded up a bag, grabbed a six pack out of the fridge, which was commented on by everyone that I passed for some reason. I don't know, sense of community or something. Basically, everyone but me who lives in my building was hanging out in the lobby when I was leaving on Friday night. It was clear there was no power here. There was some downtown where I was going, and I'm like, fuck, I'm out of here. So now I'm walking through this gauntlet of people, and I got this case of beer or whatever under one. Oh, someone knows how to ride out the storm. And, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Can you just get the fuck out of my way, please? So I didn't have the same sort of hardship, but I stayed down there for a few days and got an email on Monday morning, Sunday night, whatever you want to call it, about 1:30 in the morning. from a friend of the show, the lovely and talented Amy Burke, who lives in the general area, saying power's back on. So kind of gathered up my stuff on Monday and headed back. I took an Uber to come home, and I don't know what the fuck this was that I was listening to. On the radio was some sort of nature documentary. I have to assume we were on CBC Radio because they're the only people doing that sort of thing. And it was called, as they went to break, we will return in a moment to The Bison and the Brotherhood. And it was seriously like an episode of The Nature of Things, but on the radio. And without the over-the-top entertaining personality of one David Suzuki, that was missing as well. But so I got back home. Everything in the freezer is, of course, a write-off. But other than that, everything's fine here. They say the power is tentative, and we'll kind of get into this. But it's up. It's fragile. And so they're telling you not to, you know, go crazy on it. And I was a little nervous about that when I got home. You know, you don't want to, everything's working fine. You don't want to be the guy who comes home and decides, I'm going to run the dishwasher, do a load of laundry, vacuum while the music's blasting and the TV's on, whatever. Be the one who knocks the whole thing back out again. But, so we're doing this on kind of my mobile setup, the one that I kind of take on the road sometimes, in studio, but very few lights, very few computer bells and whistles and whatnot. So there won't be much of that going on here. But we're back in. Friday night, I'm jumping around on Twitter. It's about 5 o'clock, I guess. I don't know the exact time. And I'm seeing reports of a tornado. And there'd been all kinds of alerts and warnings, severe thunderstorm, this and that, across the province of Ontario all day. It's kind of unstable weather. But we don't get really bad stuff here, right? Like, this is really unusual. So you kind of, you don't react as well as you should. So suddenly I see a tornado warning for my area and most of the national capital region. And it's not a watch, right? So the warning is the more serious one, that it's no longer keep an eye out for it. It's, this is imminent. This is happening. So that's fucked, right? That's not what I'm looking to hear. So now I'm following along on Twitter, and I see that one does touch down in a little town called Dunrobin. It's a suburb kind of northwest of Ottawa, which I had never heard of until Friday, and now I'm unlikely to ever forget. All kinds of photos and stuff of houses just flattened. Like, forget roofs blown off and stuff. That kind of stuff happened across town. Forget trees being down. There was no sign other than these exposed basements that there had ever been houses there. It was every bit as bad as anything you see on the movies. And it was, wow, right? And so I'm looking at that. I'm reading about that. It says it's kind of, the storm has jumped the river and it's kind of blasting through Gatineau, and they got it pretty bad, which is a bit north of where we are on the Gatineau side of the Ottawa River, or the Quebec side of the Ottawa River. And it sounds like, you know, we may still get some thunderstorms, we may whatever, but the worst of it is over. They had actually undone the, or, you know, whatever, released the tornado warning. That was supposed to be over. Ended is probably the word I'm looking for. You'll forgive me, I haven't slept much in the last little while. I've been riding couches and whatever, right? Not home in my nice, comfortable bed. I still got power, everything's fine. And, you know, you kind of carry on with whatever. And I bet you it was almost an hour later that the power went out here. And you're like, oh, fuck. I kind of thought the worst of this was over, but, you know, here we are. So I'd already had plans to go downtown on Friday night, so I'm not too worried about it. You know, it's, whatever. It's a storm. And, you know, the power goes out. That happens sometimes. I'm not really changing my plans too much. I'm sure it'll be up when I get back. And I'm jumping around online now, just waiting for when I was supposed to leave. And they're talking about power being out across a good portion of the city. And this is a big city, laid out really wide, right? And there's this talk all over the place of it just being pitch black, street lights, everything. And so that was a little concerning. It starts to sound a little bit more like, you know, that this is serious and maybe more serious than your standard storm, but you still don't really know the extent of it as it's happening. And so as I'm heading downtown, there is no lights. It's eerie how dark it is. To get to Colonel By Drive, which is normally the way I choose to go downtown, I have to go down this long residential kind of main artery called Meadowlands Drive. And it's full of apartment buildings and townhouses and then little convenience stores and restaurants and this and that. All of it is pitch black. No street lights to be found, no emergency lights to be found, nothing. And it looked like an apocalyptic movie. It looked like The Purge or something, right? Like, it was so dark. And it's strange when I go to the lake, you don't really think about it. It gets dark, right? There's no street lights, there's no skyscrapers, there's no condo buildings and this and that. You expect it to be dark. But when you're moving around inside of an urban core and it's that dark, it's really startling. It makes you really uncomfortable. And people don't really remember how to treat things like a four-way stop like you're supposed to. Pedestrians don't really know when it's their time to cross. Like, so everyone's a little on edge. And as we got closer to downtown, you could see parts of it, like the Carleton University, which is, you know, one of the big campuses here in the city. They had power, and that was kind of strange because on one side of the road there was nothing. On the other, there was this giant lit up campus. But as we got closer to downtown, there was more and more power, and things looked a little more normal. So we had dinner like we were always planning to, and I'm back online, and I'm looking, and they're describing that nothing has gotten any better back out near my part of the city, and that it is across a gigantic part of the southern part of the city. Almost all of the east to west is dark. Most of the west side is dark. Parts of Kanata, which is a suburb west of here, is dark. And that they can't get it back up and running. Like, something major has happened. And so it comes out that there's one transfer station that brings in basically 40% of 50% of the city's power, and 50% of that is gone. The whole station has blown down, essentially. So 50% of the power that's supposed to come into the city is just not going anywhere. So it doesn't sound like that's going to get back up and running on the Friday night. So I decide I'm just going to crash downtown on a couch and whatever. I wake up on Saturday, and it turns out that this storm has come right down Hunt Club Road, for those of you who know Ottawa. It's kind of the southernmost main artery in Ottawa going west to east. And it's just gone down and knocked out everything in its way. And it does end up getting confirmed that it was another tornado. At first, we didn't know that, but Environment Canada has since confirmed that it was a second tornado that ripped straight across the bottom of the city. And one of the things that it touched down on was this main power transfer station where all this power comes into Ottawa. So where the city essentially connects to the provincial grid, it had just been knocked right the hell out over. It was exposed to nature. They went in at first thing in the morning on Saturday. Well, they went in Friday night to look at it. It came out on Saturday morning that they didn't even start repairs until Saturday because they couldn't. It was so much debris. Things were destroyed. It wasn't a question of fixing it. It was a question of digging to get to the problems. So Saturday morning, you're kind of like, all right, well, this is apparently going to be a while. And I made my way back out to my place, grabbed some stuff. I need a couple changes of clothes and this and that. And headed back downtown to stay with family and just kind of ride it out. But it took days. And, you know, it's really interesting to watch. It's really interesting to be in the middle of. I'm not a storm chaser kind of guy. I'm not a whatever. But when something big happens, I am a guy who turns on the news and watches it for a while. And this would have qualified in that. In a major Canadian city, to have two tornadoes rip across it and just leave half of it devastated, I'm going to watch that for a while on the news. But I don't have power or cable, so now I'm kind of in it. And that was really eerie to me because you're kind of hearing these things and you're seeing things online that are indicating this is a major story across the country. And you can't, like, you're in the middle of it. You're not suffering. It's not like some of these major, some other major stories or major storms that have gone on. Although there were people who were severely affected here in town, people who lost their homes, people who were injured, you know, seniors who didn't have what they needed in their homes anymore and needed help getting out. So it's not to say there were no victims, but it's not as devastating as some of these cities that end up underwater or, you know, whatever it might be. But here you are now sitting in it and not able to watch the way you normally would, not able to consume the news when you most need it, when it's most relevant to you. So I'm sitting downtown with power, and so I got no issue. I can keep charging up my phone and my battery packs or my laptop, whatever I want to do, and I'm watching through this on Twitter. And it was really cool to see how quickly the city kind of did spur into action, right? You are talking about, for the most part, I think there was 300,000 homes with no power on Friday night when this happened. They managed to reroute some power around the station and start to get some back up and running. But for most of the weekend, it was about 170,000 homes with no power. That's a huge chunk of people. And there are people with medical needs and different things like that that were severely impacted. But everybody wants information. Everybody wants to be able to communicate. And we've become so reliant on our phones and on the internet, things like that, that became an issue. Just, my phone's going to die. What do I do? There was Tim Hortons and McDonald's across other parts of the city that had power lined up out the door. It was like, I can't even describe it. But sometimes right around the building, right? People just trying to get in and get some water, get a bagel, just get a coffee and feel a little bit normal. Maybe some people were just killing time. But you were seeing in city parks, community leaders setting up areas to just come and eat. A lot of it was, or some of it was from a couple of grocery stores who had no power. You have generators for a little while, but at some point that's going to run out. So all of a sudden you got hot dogs and hamburgers that are going to go bad. You want to throw all that shit out, or do you want to get out in the parking lot and start cooking it, right? People are hungry. People can't cook for themselves right now. So little things like that started popping up. That was kind of cool to see. There's a woman who's fairly prominent here in Ottawa, at least online. Her name is Shauna. I'm not going to give her last name out. She was giving her own address out online this weekend. So clearly she is pretty trusting. I'm not going to give all that information away. That's up to her if she wants to do it. But she was giving out her home address and saying, you don't have to know me. You don't have to know who I am. But if you need a shower, if you need to charge your phone, come on by. I'm cooking hot meals all day. If you want to stay and eat it, you're welcome to do that. If that's going to make you uncomfortable, you can take it and go. I won't be offended. Literally, just anybody. If you need something, come here. And you saw a lot of that. I saw people tweeting that they had gotten off pretty light, or they had just finished maybe cleaning up their yard or whatever. Does anyone need a hand? Does anyone need a hand moving trees off of a line? Does anyone need a ride somewhere? Just little things like that. You were seeing a lot of this really good stuff. And to me, that stuff probably happens in most of these disasters, and you just don't really know about it unless you're there. Here it was interesting because it's on a backdrop you're so familiar with. These addresses that people are giving out are places you've been before. These pictures coming in are things you recognize, and it makes it super real. And I'm not trying, again, I want to be careful. I don't want to be too dramatic. Like I said, I grabbed some shit and I went to someone's place who had full power. And I, like anyone else, you're a little frustrated. You can't go home, but you're not exactly suffering any kind of hardship. Lots of people were, and lots of other people were working really hard to help with that, minimalize that, just volunteers. So that was really cool. Like always, there are other shitheads who like to complain about, I don't know, not getting their power back fast enough or this and that. But for the most part, really, really cool to see. So if I can circle back a little bit. On the Saturday morning, the mayor, the cops, and Hydro Ottawa officials, whatever, they have a press conference to let people know what's up. They tell us that this main station has been blown down. It's the main way to get power in. Some people closer to the north, closer to the east, who are out might start to see it trickle on, but that the rest of us in this kind of southwestern area, Nepean, Barrhaven, they said this is a multi-day deal. So this is Saturday morning. Said at least 48 hours. So that's taking you up to Monday. and that it could quite likely or quite possibly be longer than that. So later on Saturday, when I go back to my place to get some stuff, again, it's eerie. Now it's daylight, so it's less creepy. But to see no lights, no street lights, traffic just crawling, again, because people don't really know what to do at, you know, four-way stops. You see them everywhere, but you're not used to them being at major intersections with no lights and stuff. It's still really weird. I get back to my building, which is all dark. I live on the 11th floor, so luckily the elevator was running because I wasn't looking forward to that. And one of the people in my building tells me they heard Wednesday. So now you are a little concerned, right? Is you're not going to be able to get any work done. You're going to be out of your house for a long time. How long am I packing for? How much do I need to take with me? You know, what can I do? Should I be emptying my freezer now? What's going to make it? Like, luckily, I eat pretty poorly. I'm not a great cook. But there are obviously people here who lost hundreds of dollars in food and can't afford to replace it, which is a major thing that doesn't get enough attention. But, you know, that's sort of how I'm looking at that going, okay, this could be a good long time. So on Sunday afternoon, we get another report that says, we're going to try and MacGyver this thing is basically what's up. We're going to try from the other main station that brings power into the city, from a couple of smaller substations. We're going to see if we can slowly power this up, but we don't know if it's going to work. And essentially they're talking about, you know, those old shitty Christmas lights where you plug them in and like 30% of them don't work. But you don't know why. Is it one bulb that's stopping the power from getting through? Is there a loose connection somewhere? Like, what's the problem? And you know it's just going to be a nightmare until you, you know, get pissed and go buy new ones from Canadian Tire. That's sort of what this is. They're going to go around it and use a lot of this technology that was never meant to be used this way and just see what happens when they power it up. And they said, your street may not get power while streets on both sides of you do, or you might be the other, where your street is the only one in your area that comes up. We don't know yet. We're going to energize the grid. We're going to let power slowly back into it, but we don't know yet what the damage is like out there. You're kind of working from the biggest point down, right? How do we start letting power back into the city and then see where the smaller connections are broken to get back to that? And so at 5 o'clock, they say they're going to do it. It doesn't go. There's a quick news bite that comes out and says, we're going to try again at around 6. This, you know, it wasn't ready. Another one comes out at 6, says we're going to try it at 7. And it turns out in that time, it comes out later, that they did try and fire it up and found out that even then, a day and a half later, when they knew they were fucked, they found out they were more fucked than they thought. The damage, even then, was worse than they'd expected after 24 hours of looking at it, trying to find other plans. So at 7 o'clock, they start slowly powering it on. A part of Barrhaven comes on, which is the southwest corner of the town, or of this major city. Little parts in the Nepean start to power back up. It's kind of coming slowly. But I'm no more than 2 kilometers away from this actual station where this tornado ripped through and demolished everything. Like, that's something I haven't talked about much because there's no damage to my building. I wasn't hurt. No one I know was hurt. It's just been a power outage thing. It is a little freaky that it was that close and just destroyed everything over there. So because of that, I figure I'm going to be amongst the last to get up and going because I'm the closest to the main station that's the problem. Maybe they can route power from other areas to, you know, places further away, but those of us that are directly depending on the destroyed station are probably fucked. So it's sort of playing out that way. Online, I'm reading at 7, you know, these areas are coming up. At 8 or 9, some more come up. And it's slowly trickling on. But there's no talk of my area. There's nothing on the map, nothing like that. So I kind of gave up, went to bed around 10, 10:30. I woke up this morning, had a text, like I said, from our friend Amy, who said power was on. That came in at around 1:30. So, you know, decided to head home. But they're still saying don't use any power. I talked about not being not wanting to fire up all the appliances and, you know, things like that. They're saying essentially what they've done, sort of like the Christmas tree analogy, is it's like an extension cord attached to an extension cord attached to an extension cord. And it's very fragile. It's not meant to be run this way. Even last night when they started to power up some of these smaller things at around 7 o'clock, like I talked about, there was people in Barrhaven reporting a couple of fires at a couple of the small boxes, right? These smaller stations were just having way too much juice run through them. They were never meant to be run that way. And so they were exploding, which is exactly what they were afraid of. Now, luckily, that appeared to be an isolated incident. I think there was only two of them. But still, you're kind of going, oh, this is probably not how you're supposed to be doing this, right? And everybody's got an uncle or a grandfather or a family member who figures he's the guy who can MacGyver something, and he always gets electrocuted at Thanksgiving and everyone has a good laugh at him or whatever. And that's sort of how this feels. Like, well, we're going to get you up and going, but don't touch it. Like, so that's sort of where we're at here. There is power here in the studio. There's power at my place. We're trying not to use up too much of it. Like I said, we're on the mobile recording kit here so that's not draining anything. But it's a little fragile. And the one thing that's been interesting is watching online how many people, and again, I've complimented the city, I've complimented the people here, and that's mostly how I feel. But over and over and over, city officials and Hydro Ottawa reported, we can't give you an ETA. We don't know how bad the damage is. We don't know how long it's going to take to fix it. And then we got to get from the major station out to the smaller substations and neighborhoods to, there was like 80 power, like hydro poles came down. Like, forget the fact that the station that brings in the power has been obliterated, which is fairly important. 80 poles came down. Like, you can't, it's not a matter of just putting the lines back up. You now got to re-drill and get these posts back up and then string the cable again, the lines again, and then activate. Like, there was a lot going on, and they just said, we can't give you an ETA. We're telling you everything we can. But we told you at the beginning this was going to be multiple days. That's all we got for you. And still, every single time one of those tweets came out with a little bit of information, 400 comments immediately underneath. What about the Meadowlands and Merivale area? What can you tell me about Hindenburg? What can you tell me about... Shut up. It's not like someone has singled out your neighborhood and chosen not to give you power. It's not like someone has set out to ignore you. And you were seeing, because I was spending so much time online reading all this, it was the same names over and over and over. And like I said, I understand that I didn't have the same level of desperation because of my, you know, I was lucky enough to go and hang out somewhere. It's important. People wanted to know. But what was clear was people were not reading the reports coming out. They weren't reading or listening to the statements. It was simply jump on Twitter, go right to Hydro Ottawa and ask my question. The information's out there. You either chose not to read it or you didn't like it or didn't think it applied to you. And that really bugs me because the Hydro Ottawa team, man, they were getting slammed. They're like, how big do you think the social media team is for Hydro Ottawa? It's not very big, right? Like, their big deal is not Twitter. After an isolated thunderstorm or something, there's someone there who puts out, you know, we're experiencing an outage in this neighborhood and we should have it up and going by 6 to 8 p.m. All right. One or two person operation probably to keep that type of communication flowing. Half the city got flattened. I don't have time to reply to Jim in Woodfield to tell him if he, you know, when he can expect his freezer to be up and running again. Sorry, man. People just, and again, it's a small population, but it's a vocal one. It's a small percentage, but it's a vocal one, right? People that are just worried about them. Or someone says, we're going to attempt to power up Barrhaven at 7 a.m. What does that mean for my neighborhood? Nothing. It means nothing for your neighborhood. You've been told multiple days. Maybe I'd be more frustrated than I turned out to be if I was the one sitting here in the dark. Maybe I'd want to know, but I am capable of reading what they're telling me, and that's that they don't have an answer for me. I'd love an answer. I wish they had one, but they didn't. over and over and over and over and over. What about me? What about my street? Fuck. So, that's sort of how all this has gone down. They closed most of the schools in the city today. They closed a lot of workplaces. The government encouraged people to work from home. This is a largely government-employed town. So, you know, that was a big part of it, as there was still no street lights and stuff. But, you know, it's been crazy. Like I said, the weirdest part of the whole thing was Friday night driving around in total darkness. And then the fact that you can't really get the news coverage in the way you traditionally would when you're in the zone, right? Like I mentioned earlier, not being able to just flip on CBC. If this had happened in Toronto, I would have flipped on CBC News on Saturday morning and gone, I wonder what's up, and watched and checked that out. Now I'm here in Ottawa where it happened, and I want to know what's up, and I'm the one who can't access. It was really surreal to just know that this is a major story, that this is news, and because you're in it, because you're affected by it, you can't get it. It was a really weird feeling. There were other parts of the city that did just fine. Saturday afternoon, they were still able to play the Ottawa Redblacks game, which was over at over on Bank Street, kind of further east from where most of the problems were. It's an outdoor stadium anyway, so most of the stuff wouldn't have been impacted. So that was nice. Sunday afternoon, the Ottawa 67s had a home game that's in the same area. And they were letting people in free. Come get some food. Come, you know, you're trying to entertain your kids with no power for a couple of days. It's kind of boring. So to have a team like that, just say, yeah, come on in. That was kind of cool. There was pictures all over the place of City Hall. They opened City Hall and said, if you want to just come in and charge your phone, no problem. And so there's people sitting on the floor all over the place in City Hall, like beside these outlets. Other people showing up at Tim Hortons and McDonald's with power bars, right? Because there's only two outlets here. If we put a power bar there, there's five or six. So little heads up, things like that, that were kind of going on. It was just strange. Like I said, downtown where I was, it was like things were reasonably normal. And yet half a kilometer away, 1 kilometer away, it was like this post-apocalyptic nightmare. So kudos to Hydro Ottawa. Unbelievable job. Like I said, they got most people back up. It's kind of MacGyvered together, but they got it done quicker than they said they were going to. I think their strategy there of telling everybody it was going to be at least a few days was the better way to go. If you say we're going to try tomorrow and then it doesn't work, people are pissed. If you just say, yeah, you know what, it's probably going to be 48, 72 hours, and then you find some miracle strategy before that, you know, better to under-promise and over-deliver. And that's what they did, and they did an awesome job. So kudos to them. What's going to happen around here? Well, we've been a little light on content, right? We only had 2 shows out last week. That was sort of by design. That's what we had going on. But we were expecting to record either on Friday night or on Sunday like we normally do. Obviously, we weren't able to get that done. And then today was just kind of a nightmare. And we didn't know what kind of power and stuff there'd be. On Tuesday night, Rob will be in studio. There's a lot of news. There's a lot of stuff we want to get to, especially on the sports side of things. But we also are now just over a week away from the start of the NHL season. And so we want to get our 4 divisional previews out. So we're not really sure yet how we're going to balance that. Should we, you know, pay a little less attention to those previews and maybe do, you know, 1 on each conference instead of 1 on every individual division? Do we just talk about the training camp stories as we go? We're not really sure yet how that's going to play out. But Rob will be in studio on Tuesday. There will be more new content late Tuesday night or early Wednesday morning. We do apologize, despite the sarcasm off the top, that there hasn't been more to put out. But as you can see, things have been a little crazy, and we just haven't been able to get done what we wanted to. It just hasn't been possible. So we will hopefully, that is the plan, get things up and running on Tuesday night again. However, as I've said, we are apparently running on several extension cords tied together, in terms of the city's power grid. There will be times where it goes down again as they hook different parts back up. There will be times when something blows. There could be anything, right? We expect to be largely out of the woods, but there could be interruptions and incidents and whatever else that may come on down the road. So there's a certain amount of unpredictability there, but we expect to have more for you and getting back to normal here later in the week. But wanted to get some sort of update out to you on what had happened and why we had been gone and just sort of the craziness around the city here over the last few days. It's really been wild. So that's sort of where things are at right now. You can keep an eye on any changes or any updates at facebook.com/TallCanAudio or at TallCanAudio on Twitter. If this wasn't enough for you, there is always stuff on TallCanAudio.com at the archives. You hit that search bar there. If you only like shows with Rob, you can type in his name. They're all subcategorized that way. If you want to hear from Nate Sager or Amy Burke or Jill McSween or Maddie Lang, any of the other people we've had on over the years, all of that is there as well. If you just want to go back and scroll, we have done over somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 shows now. I guarantee you haven't heard them all. And so instead of sending us tweets, at least for the next day or two, cut us a little slack. I'm sure there's something there that you haven't heard before that could keep you busy for an hour or so. So that's sort of where we're at right now. Appreciate your patience. Appreciate those of you who did reach out to find out if I'd blown through a Taco Bell window rather than just complain about the lack of new podcasts. That was awfully nice of you. But everyone's okay. It was just kind of, for us, like I said, there were people out there that had much bigger problems, people who lost homes, people who were injured, this and that. I'm not downplaying the significance of the storm at all. But in our little world, across the TCA world, everyone's okay. It was just a loss of power and I would say more of a nuisance than anything else. To anyone who had much more than a nuisance to deal with, our thoughts are with you. Like I said, this was unfortunate and I think largely though, the city probably dodged a bit of a bullet. There will be a need to look at the infrastructure moving forward. Maybe we shouldn't be powering a city or a region of like 1.3 million with just two different power stations. That maybe isn't a great idea. But all of that is for another day. Until then, we will see you on down the road. My name's Matt Robinson. This has been Unforced Errors number 69 on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network.
This one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.